p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from our national studios here in Accra, networking all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program where we get to speak to the newsmakers and the experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For this edition, presidential candidates pledge to keep the peace in what is called the Kumasi Declaration. How can they live up to their promise and what are the possible challenges? And the world strives to hit zero infection rate for HIV and HIV and AIDS related deaths. What is Ghana doing to meet her targets? We'll be delving deeper into these issues within the next hour or so. And as usual, I'll be taking your test on 026-301-7882. And as mentioned, our text line is 026-301-7882. And the more they reflect decorum and also reflect on the issues under discussion, the better it is. We want to move to our first story. It is often said that it takes two to tango, but where peace is concerned, all must be on board. For many observers, therefore, the effort that culminated in all the presidential candidates appending their signature to what has come to be called the Kumasi Declaration is worth talking about. As the National Peace Council, the Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC, and other agencies got together under the aegis of Asante Inetumfo-Osei to push an agenda that is so important to development, there were a few skeptics who think they have seen this effort before, even if not on such a scale. Does that mean there should be more than a commitment? How different would this declaration be in helping the country to go through the elections peacefully? We are now joined on the line by Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, Deputy Minister of Information. But before we speak to him, we want to pick some bites from the venue.
It is significant that we have created such an invaluable forum today to further seek commitment and consensus on ensuring a peaceful election devoid of violence, impunity, and injustice. Ghana has been blessed with peaceful political transitions since we embraced the Fourth Republican Constitution in April 1992. Moreover, many of the electoral processes that have led to these transitions have been characterized by uncomfortable levels of tension and indeed several instances of violence and threats of violence. As a people, we have to be thankful to God that some of these have not ignited into full-blown conflict. We often pride ourselves as a people, but the nature of partisan politics and the tensions that have come with fierce political competition mean we should not take our peace for granted. From history, people have done all sorts of things to secure power. Some would kill, some would lie, some would do anything, buy to get the power. But we happen to be living in times when I believe we as a nation are all agreed that power belongs with the people and that the people as individuals should line up to vote. To vote. Anybody wanting to lead us must submit to our choice. We must vote for him or her to become the president. Just like when we get fed up with him, we go again to vote to take him out of power and put another person there.
You heard the two former presidents, J.J. Rawlings and J.A. Kufuor, on the issues at the venue in Kumasi earlier in the day. Let's welcome Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa. You are warmly welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you very much.
Let me pick your initial comments about the whole process.
Well, I think that it was a very useful exercise. We must commend the organizers, the National Peace Council, IDEC, the Otumfuo Asantehene, and all the key political actors, the former presidents, President Jerry John Rawlings, President John Ajaikun Kufuor, they played their statesmanly role. Their speeches were on point, very apt. I thought that everybody except the one candidate who gave conditions for peace, I think apart from that, everything went well. And it is good that we are all reminding ourselves that elections have sometimes gone bad. It is good that we are not resting on our ass. We have not become complacent just because we have done it 5 times already without bloodshed or without major skirmishes. And so we are going to say that nothing can happen and everybody can just go to bed and wake up on December 7th and vote. So this attitude is good. It's better to keep preparing for peace than to be caught unawares, than not to really commit all the key actors. So I think that it's a useful process. I know that there are some sections of our society who think that this whole peace campaign and peace efforts are being overflocked and that Ghanaians are peaceful in nature. This is not the first time we are going to vote and that things will necessarily pan out well because of our previous experiences and because of our nature as Ghanaians. But I would rather want to be on the side of those who are engaged in constant reminders and those who want to concretely commit the key actors. Because let's be sincere, the run-up to this election, there have been numerous explosive tapes which have emerged. People have been caught on tape, planning all kinds of things, saying all kinds of things. So, I mean, you never know what some of the key actors are planning behind the scenes. So it is good that before everybody, the entire nation, the key actors are being asked to commit, make pledges, sign to it, put their signature to it, so that we can hold them to it. So I think that generally,
good. Sammy, were you privy to some of the principles enshrined in this document even before signing today?
I became aware of it when her ladyship, the Chief Justice, read the contents, and I thought that they're very, very powerful commitments, really reassuring, and if these key leaders who are signing them today commit themselves to the content, then we should have no cause for worry.
I'm asking because, you know, in coming out with such a document, those who are going to sign it should have known earlier so that they prepare the minds of their followers. They won't, if they have any reservations, they would have expressed it and all. Does that mean that all parties did not know totally about what they were going to sign on to?
I must admit that there was some general knowledge. Indeed, the organizers engaged all the stakeholders, and I am aware of discussions that took place behind the scenes when the invitations were being carried out, and we all had a sense of what to expect today. And really, this is not a matter that, I mean, we all want peace. We all want to live in cordiality, in tranquility. So, and honestly, by and large, most of the key actors have been preaching peace and talking about peace. So, there was no need to be overly concerned about the contents or worried about what
you are going to sign on to, provided it is about a peace.
Exactly.
I'll please hold you on for a moment. We have your colleague from the NPP, Samuel Abujinapor, also joining us on the line, an aide to the NPP presidential candidate. Hey. You are welcome to Behind the News.
Thank you, my brother, and a very good evening to your church listeners.
Yeah. Let me pick your initial comments before we even get to a few issues coming up.
Well, let me take this opportunity to commend and congratulate His Royal Majesty Otunfuo Setu II, the National Peace Council, the Chief Justice, Her Ladyship Georgina Wood, and all the other stakeholders who graced this very auspicious and historic occasion. I believe that what happened today in Kumasi is indeed historic, and it epitomizes the Ghanaian people's quest for peace. It is in that spirit that our candidate participated fully in that encounter. And indeed, our candidate expressed the sentiments that I've just expressed. Secondly, for us in the MPP and our candidate, and indeed we indicated it this afternoon, that we have always stood for peace. On 4th August 1947 in Sorghum, when the bedrock of the new Patriotic Party was established by the likes of J.B. Dankwa and Co. in the form of the United Workers Convention, it was done on the principle of adherence to peaceful coexistence. And so we are very much for peace. It is in that regard that our candidate for the past 40 years that he's been in frontline Ghanaian politics, since 1977 at the age of 33, when he was the General Secretary for the People's Union of Freedom and Justice, which fought against the dictatorial tendencies under the Achampong regime, all through to the days of the Alliance for Change, the Kumipreku demonstration, all through to the 2008 election, when he lost the 2008 election by the slimmest of margins in the history of Africa, and yet did not raise any contention or did not do anything that jeopardized the peace of our country.
Let me ask.
Thank you, Papa, just want to land properly. Nana Addoudam Kwaku Kwadwo and the NPP are absolutely committed to peace.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have a look at the documents before it was even signed? So that if you had some reservations, it will come up even before it was publicly presented.
Oh, you cannot have reservations at the time when the document was being signed because...
No, I'm talking about the time of preparation. Before you got to this stage, yes.
I believe that the various stakeholders would have been involved by the Peace Council and Otunfuo outfit and all the other stakeholders. It's normal practice that will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And the various, political parties, their leaders and stakeholders will obviously have an input in the arrangement in respect of the Kumasi Declaration. That, I know, obviously, was done.
Mm-hmm. Some concerns that came up was that this was a fine opportunity and it was time to still trumpet the peace. But your candidate raised some concerns that got a few people a little uncomfortable going back to trace some sordid experiences and all. Could it have been done on a different platform?
Which people were a little uncomfortable, if I may ask?
At least I've heard one or two comments in that direction.
From where?
No, but I'm asking. When it gets to your turn to be asking the question, you do it.
No problem. You said that you have made a point, a statement of fact that one or two people were uncomfortable, and I want to speak to those people and their comments directly. So if you may help me to finish myself and your listeners.
At least even for tonight's discussion, we've heard a bit of it coming from your colleague on the other line. He will come in later again.
Who is that colleague?
Samuel Okudieto Ablakwa.
Oh, the Deputy Minister of Information.
Yes.
Okudieto Ablakwa. Oh, my friend and good brother, and my very good friend, with the greatest of respect to him, I don't think what he's saying is anything that we should pay any attention to. Mr. Okudieto, Honorable Okudieto Ablakwa, has gotten this opportunity to be speaking on radio because of the works of people like Nana Akufo-Addo. You recall they celebrated a landmark case of MPP versus DBC, which Akufo-Addo was the lead counsel, which resulted in the broadening of the frontiers of free speech in our country, and which has resulted in the lives of Okudieto and Co. having the opportunity to speak on radio. Nana didn't do that by laying his hands on any weapon in this country. So as for Okudieto, they should be thankful to the peaceful nature
of
Nana Akufo-Addo.
Abu, we are still changing the face of the question we posed. Can we go directly to it? That, yes, your candidate might have some concerns. That is why I asked whether earlier there was some knowledge so that you even raise it. Can't we incorporate this or that so that it will also be seen to in a way?
All the concerns that the new Patriotic Party and its candidate, Nana Addoudam Kwaku Kwadwo, has had have been communicated through several fora. They have been communicated privately. They have been communicated privately on several occasions to several outfits, including the National Peace Council and Otunfuo's outfit. We find it prudent and we find it appropriate that those concerns were articulated on the platform of today's event, because we need for all of Ghana, we need for all of Ghana to know what is happening in our country. And let me be very quick to add that the fact that the MPP are for peace does not mean that the MPP are going to idle and sit unconcerned for their rights to cheat. And let me use your medium, which is widely listened to by Ghanaians, that all of us members of the New Patriotic Party are for peace. But we should not countenance cheating, and we should stand up tall, stand up boldly, everywhere, anywhere in Ghana, to ensure that our rights are respected.
Abu, I know we've pulled you out of a meeting, but let me quickly ask about this one. Leadership signing onto agreements, and you might remember, I might have raised this on other occasions. It is good. The facade that is presented is beautiful. How can followers really get the message and also follow suit?
That is exactly what I'm doing on our platform. I mean, Ghana Broadcasting Corporation is a big platform, and I'm reiterating the commitments that have been made by our presidential candidate and our party, that we are for peace. And like I did indicate, on the 4th of August 1947, when the bedrock of the MPP was established, we have always been for peace. We demonstrated it in 2008. When we're in government, when we had all the state apparatus at our disposal, we lost the 2008 election by the slimmest of margins in the whole of Africa, in African history. We did not even call for a recount. We did not do anything that had a tendency of jeopardizing the peace of our country. So unlike our principal opponent, President Muhammad, who has never contested a general election before, who has never been tested before, but Nana Akufo-Addo, when it comes to his commitment to peaceful elections, when it comes to his nature as a peaceful person, it's been tried, it's been tested, and it's been proven.
We've seen his commitment even by signing today. What about the other people? How are you getting them along to see that this is what our leader says?
Let me just give you a straightforward message in respect of why we are preaching across the country. All followers, sympathizers, and supporters of the MPP, follow all the electoral rules. Follow all the laws of our country. Do not break any law in this country. Conduct yourself peacefully. Don't engage in violence. But be absolutely vigilant and stand up, even at the peril of your life, to defend the right of the MPP and the right of Ghana. And ensure, as they say, that the voice of the people is the voice of God. That come December 7th, the voice of the people and the will of the people will prevail, even at the peril of our life. Let us stand up to defend it, because in so doing, we'll be defending our constitution, we'll be defending the integrity of our country, and ensuring that the genuine will of the people prevails. That is the message to our supporters all the time.
We want to thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us, even though it was a tight end for you.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Samuel Abu Jinapor is 8-2 MPP presidential candidate. But coming back to you on the line, Samuel?
Yes, I am.
Your name on the other side was talking about the fact that sometimes they have concerns. So this was an opportunity to still bring forward those concerns so that many people get to know about it. It's addressed within the confines of still talking about the peace.
Yeah, I'll come to that in a jiffy. Yeah. But if I can just quickly respond to a lot of the points that Abu Jinapor made. When you listen to Abu Jinapor and activists in the New Patriotic Party, they speak as if, you know, but for Nanado, even the air we are breathing now, we will not be able to take in that oxygen. You know, this arrogant posture that, but for Nanado, I wouldn't be speaking on radio. Comments like that are very, very, very offensive. It is important for us to tell the NPP that we know the history of this country. We know our history, the history of the black race. Before Nana Akufo-Addo was born, before the UGCC was established, we had people like the Aborigines Right Protection Society who fought for freedom. We had people like Yaa Asantewaa. We had people like Kwesi Appiah who fought for the freedoms which we are enjoying today. In any case, the ultimate guarantee of the freedoms that we are all enjoying today is the 1992 Constitution. When this Constitution was being drafted, Nana Akufo-Addo and his friends in the NPP opposed the drafting of this Constitution. They refused to participate. They, they demonized the process and bastardized those who were involved in it, said that these were a bunch of non-fit, you know, all kinds of butchers and traders and market women and farmers and ordinary citizens who knew nothing about the law. And yet today, they are parading as apostles of the Constitution and disciples of the rule of law. So I think that this arrogant posture by Abu Jinapor and the NPP must be discarded. We are a peaceful nation. We have a constitution. We all love freedoms because we have all worked and toiled for it.
So even in working for the peace, there are concerns.
It's not one person's contribution. Now, the point must be made that Nana Akufo-Addo embarrassed himself today, and he showed his true character. He perhaps only lived up to his reputation. All the other 7 aspirants, including the president, used the platform appropriately, pledged for peace, and made a commitment for peace. Only Nana Akufo-Addo gave conditions. So I am surprised he even went to sign the declaration. He shouldn't have signed because his conditions has not been met.
And
what
were
the issues he was raising?
He was saying that
people like Yabuatinjan have not been arrested. I mean, when everybody knows that Mr. Yabuatinjan was invited, he was investigated by national security, why the selective amnesia? Why didn't he talk about his own youth organizer who made the most scary, dangerous, and incendiary remarks, where he is talking about mercenaries which are being brought in, where he's talking about how they are going to target certain institutions.
Sammy, you are bringing us back to the issue of brigadiers and all of that. Hello,
so
Sammy.
The selective amnesia which Nana Akufo-Addo exhibited today was most...
You are bringing us back to the issue that even at the table of peace, there are still issues that sometimes we want to paper over quickly. Does that mean that really people have not been allowed to talk about those issues so quickly they are resolved, and then when you sign a peace agreement, people see that, oh, the politicians are really and genuinely committed to it?
You see, if Nana Akufo-Addo wanted to be honest and wanted to be very sincere, he would be thanking the security apparatus and the people of Ghana for allowing him to go about his campaign. If he is concerned that people are not being arrested, perhaps he will have been the first person to be arrested. He is the only presidential aspirant who has been talking about all die be die. That ATY, Echire, Bibi, Kakra, we exhibited our violent traits. We showed them something small in Atiwa. He has been talking like that. So when you are the culprit, you don't use these opportunities to try and, you know, make...
So let me quickly ask, with this document, with this document, how do we move ahead getting people along the path that it was a great ceremony and we want to still see a great country going forward in a great way, even through the elections?
I think we would quickly have to ignore the conditions. Let us all genuine commitment to peace. It is also important that we learn lessons from 2008. When you listen to the NPP, they speak as if 2008, they were so well behaved. But for President Kufuor issuing that statement to the GNA that he was ready to hand over to whoever emerges. I mean, remember the tension. Nana Akufo-Addo sent his lawyers to court on Sunday wanting to injunct the Electoral Commission from declaring the results. All these things were done.
But you still commended someone coming from their camp.
Let us learn lessons and say that in 2012, in this election, we will not engage in all this midnight jurisprudence, this Sunday going to court and all of that. Let us allow the Electoral Commissioner to do his work. If it is not going in our favor, let us leave to fight another day. Let's behave ourselves. Let us not invade the Electoral Commission. All those, you know, things that we did in 2008, which threatened the peace and really scared people in this country, let's live by the dictates of this Kumasi declaration and genuinely commit ourselves to peace. Let us be bold to condemn political leaders who make outlandish, tribal, violent statements which
that everybody will still be talking about the peace.
Which should be unacceptable to us.
We want to thank you very much, but the few days ahead of us, we'll still be talking about how to pursue the peace, the ordinary person on the street. Thank you so much, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa. That's the Deputy Minister of Information, you are still live on Behind the News, and you are getting us on Sunrise FM and Ubunu 96.5. Very soon, we'll be talking to those who have been so active in still promoting that peace agenda. Emmanuel Bombande is on the line with us, but after this.
Indeed, since we adopted our constitution of 1992, we have established solid democratic credentials over this 20-year period. We've held 5 successive elections, and we're about to go into a 6th. Normally, this should cost us no sleep because we have had the experience before. But it is said that the price of freedom, and in this case, I replace freedom with peace, is eternal vigilance. Ghana, as a result of our democratic credentials, is held to a much higher standard than other countries on our continent. Our democracy is believed to have matured. I remember recently on the world stage at the UN General Assembly, I called on the international community that were interested in monitoring and observing our elections to feel free to do so. A few of them have turned down the invitation because they say Ghana's democracy has matured and there's no need to come and supervise those elections. What this means is that we must rise up as a people and make sure that nothing mars this great respect and esteem in which we are held. These elections of 2012 will consolidate once and for all our credentials as probably the best democracy in the world. I have a dual responsibility. First, as President of the Republic, and secondly, as a candidate in these elections myself. I pledge to carry out this role to the best of my ability and in the national interest. I wish before all of you, my countrymen and women, to pledge my commitment to a violence-free election, and I call on all our citizens to join the Electoral Commission, government, and the security services to ensure peace before, during, and after the election.
I believe that the peace that we all seek and pray for in our country can only be guaranteed if every sector plays its part in delivering a free and fair election. The political parties, the Electoral Commission, the government, the security agencies, and the citizenry as a whole. I can speak for the NPP and state without any equivocation that we will not do anything to endanger the peace of the nation in any way during these elections.
Well, you heard President John Mahama and candidate Nana Akufo-Addo there on the line. Quickly, we want to move on to the line and speak to Emmanuel Bombande, Executive Director of the West African Network for Peace Building. You are welcome, sir, once again.
Hello, good evening to you and good evening to your listener.
We'll keep coming back to this track through the elections. So we know you continue to indulge us a little bit because peace is so important. But for you, how did this process adapt to all that we've been doing so far in relation to the elections and peace?
Well, first of all, at the leadership level, what we would normally call the track one level, it's important that such a declaration that is public underscores the commitment that is desirable in the face of the processes that we have gone through up to this point. And it's important that when we talk about these processes, we must not forget the context within which there has been a groundswell of Ghanaian public support for peace, whether from civil society, religious, faith-based organizations, you name it. And that is why when there is a public declaration by leadership, it's important. But I think we need to now appreciate that beyond the declaration, which is the commitment, the accountability is about translating that now into concrete action. So that when a youth group is barricading a road, like we saw last week in Chebbi, the leaders unanimously will disagree and condemn that action, because then the pledge of the commitment to nonviolence is that they are standing against any act of violence. Or if, as we heard, a journalist was being besieged in a radio station last week, then the candidates stand against any action that will be violent-prone. Then we now know that the commitment is being translated concretely into what we want in terms of nonviolence before, during and after the elections.
You say beyond the declaration, but even within declaration, people still have some concerns. How do you think such concerns should be addressed so that it does not affect, taint in any way that I'm signing, but I still have hold on to something that has not been addressed for me?
You framed this beautifully. Should there be any concern or should there be any issue, it must constantly be subjected to the type of dialogue processes, the type of political discourse that respects the commitment to nonviolence. So, for example, it will be wrong to say that if I have an issue, then violence is justifiable because my issue has not been addressed. What must be done is to say, I have this issue and I want to be part of how it is addressed. Because peace is something that requires the cooperation of all sides. And the more we talk about that, the more the clarity and understanding comes. Because do not forget that we have different perspectives. One perspective could be the interpretation of one side's understanding of how the issue has been dealt with. And yet when you subject it to the people who have the mandate to carry out what that issue means in terms of a resolution, the clarity then emerges for that person to appreciate that, contrary to the perception that nothing was done, those who are in charge actually took the trouble to go through this. And that's what I mean by constantly bringing this to the fore for all the stakeholders concerned to be able to talk about it and to bring a mutual satisfaction on all sides about the issue, rather than the issue becoming an excuse for the perpetuation of more violence.
Can everybody be satisfied at a peace table all at once?
Not 50-50. You see, satisfaction is not quantifiable in terms of quantitative data. Satisfaction is more about quality. For example, somebody might get only 30% of what came out of a discourse. But qualitatively, because you were listened to, because your concerns were heard, because you felt that justice at the social level was addressed, you go home satisfied. So satisfaction is not because everybody got 50-50 and then walked home. But it depends now on the issue, it depends on the process, and it depends on what came out in terms of the quality. But do not also forget that when you submit it to the context of democracy, it's always about a winner and a loser. And the rules of the game is that when you lose, you probably do not get what you wanted. But because you respect that in democracy, the possibility to lose is always there, you are satisfied even if you lost because the process was fair and the respect for the rule of the game was carried through and carried through the rest of the process.
Mr. Mombande, we'll please ask you to hold on because we have a mediation expert to joining us on the line. He's been in very critical situations and have managed to bring peace to the table. Austin Gami is head of Gami and Gami Academy. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
It's quite challenging sometimes sitting in the middle of opposing parties who still must talk peace. For you, how does this process that took place today help in still fostering the peace?
Well, once again, thank you. I think that to a limit, we all have expiry dates written on us boldly. And so we are temporary just here. So everybody and anybody speaking will have to be mindful of whatever he's saying, because this world belongs to the owner, and one day all of us will live here. Having said so, the Kumasi Declaration, as far as I am concerned, interestingly marks the end of the December 7th elections in Ghana. I say so because I think that especially the NDC and the MPP, who already we all know amassed close to 45% each of the electorate in this country consistently from 1992 to date. Clearly, what it means is that they themselves, by their language, by their posture and mannerism at the stage today, have given opportunity to the floating voters to decide where to swing their votes today. And I can only urge for us not to be the commentators on what have been said already, If you, the radio stations and the TV stations, as a reminder, will constantly play this beautiful declaration that they themselves were voluntarily made themselves available to sign today, people will hear it, and I feel strongly within my spirit that the floating voters will decide today where their votes should go, depending on what was said by the candidates themselves, their mannerism, and the character they exhibited before the total public today. Because we all watch it. I was not told by anybody. I watch it myself.
Well, you stated it quite clearly, but sometimes for the followers, they need that direction. At least we got commitment from the representatives of the two parties who spoke earlier that they will tell their people. But how do we ensure, really, that in passing on the message, that spirit is there? Go along with the peace process, even if you have concerns.
I want to believe that the Otunfo-led committee today might have met the candidates and their aides behind closed door to ensure that they all have an understanding. I am hoping that there was cardinal rules set for all of them. They might have ironed out their differences in one way or the other behind closed doors. So actually, when they came to the open, they were expected to just say the things that are expected to be said as leaders, for us as followers to hear. So if something, I was closely watching and watching the body language and watching the language they use and everything that was exhibited there today. I'm 63 and therefore I'm no child in this country again. And therefore watching closely what was exhibited today, that's why I said what I said from the beginning. But believing that the 2-4 committee and the eminent people who were assembled there might have gone through the process with them behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Like I heard my friend Bombadi said, some high level of satisfaction might have been reached.
Yeah.
Because if you iron out your differences behind closed doors, when you come outside for the sake of peace and for the sake of the people of this country, the exhibition of true statesmanship and character of a leader who wants to assume the leadership role of the nation will have to be exhibited to the 100% point.
Mr. Singhami.
No leftover.
Just a moment. You, alternate dispute resolution experts, will always say that ventilation is part of even letting it go and allowing everything to flow. Is it not good enough to have that ventilation taking place?
Yeah, the ventilation is sometimes, if I'm doing mediation, I do pre-mediation. And my pre-mediation, by the time it's over, the mediation process itself is over. When we come to the outside, I guide you through the conversation, and within 90 minutes, it's all over.
Yeah, okay.
And so my strongest feeling here is that they might have taken them through a process behind closed doors. They might have ventilated and therefore experienced what we call catharsis in conflict resolution. If that happened, then the outside exhibition should be qualitative.
Okay.
And it must be 100% and without any excuse. So if there are still question signs, like I observed today, then I'm afraid they left certain questions unanswered. But all said and done, it's better than none.
We want to thank you very much, Mr. Osengami.
Most grateful.
That is a dispute resolution expert talking to us there. You are still live on Behind the News, and we still have Mr. Manuel Bombandi on the line. Mr. Bombandi. Hello, Mr. Bombandi.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, you've heard Mr. Osengami on the issues. He was thinking that sometimes even some of the expressions outside after going through a process should reflect that even if you have reservations, it might have been addressed somewhere where within the public eye, what you reflect should be what should take people along. Can politicians always do it without necessarily giving a bad body language?
Well, first of all, I totally agree with Mr.
Osengami, but as somebody who was attentive to the process that led to the declaration, this type of structured process he described did not happen, except to say that the back door, so to speak, engagements were about committing to the declaration. But having made that observation, and if you look at the question that you put across, what is important is that at the end of the day, there is the body language and there is a verbal expression that commits to the declaration. And do not forget that in all this, the politician is seeking to communicate to the electorate. And the way and manner they are able to communicate a genuine commitment to peace is also important. And that is why when the politicians do communicate, this should be in the back of their mind. And that is why in politics, leaders must have the type of expertise and the type of advice that will guide them. Now, whether or not some of them took this into account is a different matter. But at the end of the day, I think what is most important is the assurance Ghanaians have that the commitment to peace is unequivocal, and that people are going to commit themselves to that peace.
We want to thank you very much, but you know, we've not finished on our road to peace, so we'll get back to you some other time.
Thank you also for your wonderful contribution.
Emmanuel Bombande is Executive Director of the West African Network for Peacebuilding. Behind the news, you are live on Garden City Radio.
If we are here this afternoon, it is because we recognize that indeed there is a potential for violence, that we have experienced impunity and injustice in this country. We must also recognize that free and fair elections does not just happen on the day of voting. It is something that must happen throughout the years. And if we are here, we are recognizing that indeed the process has not been free, it has not been fair. It is important that we say to you that the Progressive People's Party, the PPP, that we sit on the foundation of peace. Indeed, we are the only political party in Ghana whose motto includes the word peace. Our motto is prosperity in peace. And so we understand, and we have educated our people, both young and old, to be respectful, to be dignified, to be disciplined. And nobody in this country can point to one PPP member that has disrupted the peace, that has engaged in violence. Nobody.
I must say it's an historical event. Now, let's come to the word of peace. You all know Ayariga, the man of peace. The man who preaches peace day in, day out. We want
peace.
We want
peace.
You know, from all the 8 political leaders here, we must show some sense of humor. We must make Ayarigate. Ayarigate is somebody who can make a whole nation laugh, smile, and joy. Yes, we want to become presidents of the nation. From all the candidates here, every one of us wants to be president. But I can tell you, it is not when you squeeze your face and look so strange, you don't smile, that makes you a president. As a youthful president, I believe in the politics of tolerance, love, unity, and peace.
I'm so happy to be here today, and once I was coming, I was wondering, there's been so much peace spoken, prayed for, and everywhere I have stood, I have said one thing, and I repeat it. Ghanaians are one of the most peaceful people in the world. This we know. We are peaceful. The reason why we are doing this is not we, the people of this country. The reason why we've been praying and praying, children are praying, the Muslims, the Christians, is simply because of the leaders who want power and authority from you. It's been very clear that today this function has demonstrated and will demonstrate after we've done the signing that we are all committed to peace in this country.
Well, you heard the PPP presidential candidate, Dr. Papa Kwesi Ndun, the PNC candidate, Hassan Ayariga, and the vice presidential candidate of the CPP, Akusua Sapong-Kuma-Nkrumah, on the line there. But all these will boil down to leadership if they should work very well for the people. And we have, joining us on the line, Jude Hammer, a leadership development consultant and a missiologist. He's also the immediate past CEO of Scripture Union Ghana. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, and I'm happy to say hello to all your cherished listeners and to all who have contributed already to this very, very interesting behind the news program tonight.
Yeah. You see effective leadership as very important in taking the followers along. How can it be done within the discussions we are having?
Well, I mean, John Maxwell said, you know, leadership, everything rises or falls with leadership. And that is why it is important that we should commend Otunfo and the National Peace Council for the Kumasi Declaration event today. But I will consider that as one of the very elements in a series of elements that will contribute to peace before, during, and after the election. Leadership scholars, Dr. Hughes and co present the interactional model of leadership. That is, that leadership is the interaction of the leader with the followers and the context. The context here may be the culture, the context or issues on the ground. So leadership is not in an abstract thing. Leadership influence takes place with the followers and with the culture, the microculture, for example, in this case of the political parties, and the general macroculture of the nation, of the electorate. And that is what we must take into consideration very importantly.
So today's
declaration, signing also paints a perception for the electorate. A perception that we are all desiring peace. All our leaders are desiring peace.
If we have all desiring peace, and sometimes this is not the first time we'll have leaders talking about peace. Maybe they might not have gone on to sign on a broad declaration with all these people around like this. How will this bring a difference to show that really leadership is being effective in carrying people along?
That's a very important one. I can give you some example from scripture. Moses wanted to take all the people, all the electorate, as it were, on board in moving from the desert land into the promised land of Canaan. To get all the people on board, he chose 12 leaders from each tribal group of Israel to go and spy and explore the land and come back and give report to the people. They did the exploration, but 10 of them convinced themselves that they were like grasshoppers before the people, and they themselves thought of themselves as grasshoppers. So that kind of grasshopper mentality by the leaders did not help. And they transferred that grasshopper mentality onto their people. If you read Numbers chapter 14, the whole night the people of Israel wept throughout the whole night because of imaginary, threat to their lives. A threat which was absolutely non-existent. That can also happen in our political context in Ghana. If the leadership does not communicate to to the followers appropriately. So I will side also with Emmanuel Bombardier that, you know, signing the Kumasi Declaration is important, but we must go a step further in actualizing it, in implementing it, in seeing it realized. And I'm excited today on the one hand, and yet cautious that the analysis, the things that people are saying, even the political party activists are saying, as part of the analysis of the Kumasi Declaration, gives us, you know, various kinds of signals. But what you are saying is that what I am thinking of is that with all the tapes and all this and from various political, you know, sections that we have heard in the media, are they going to follow this declaration and say, look, no macho people will be trained by any political party any longer, and we are forming a joint committee to oversee that. We are going to take step number two, step number three. None of my communication team members should speak any negative thing on the media from today. Now, those I will feel will be special, you know, specific steps to be taken.
Well, so Jude Hammer, certainly there are other areas that we need to explore, but as we say, it is the peace towards the election, so we'll be getting back to you again. We want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much indeed. We all want to vote for peace for Ghana.
Thank you
too. We all want to live in peace in Ghana.
Jude Hammer is a leadership development consultant. He was with us on the line. Behind the news, some of your tests here before we move on to the issue on HIV. Why is the NDC paranoid when Nanado talks they should leave the next president alone? Solomon from Kwautafo is saying so. Emu Nana K. Kumasi Peace Declaration, this bold and admirable initiative by Asante Hini and the National Peace Council shall forever be remembered. And Dugbazan Richard Raskin, I would like to commend the organizers of the Kumasi Declaration for organizing a successful program, that is the National Peace Council and IDEC. And Ehi in Ho, we the people of Kitu North, who showed the MP for because he failed to deliver his promises, a lot of school under trees specifically. And Justice in Adenta is saying, Nana was rather attacking President Mama when he was given the chance to commit to peace. And Joe Banyewa says, this election is going to be peaceful. God will punish anybody who plans to cause violence. Ghana will continue to become a beacon of hope. And Danke from Sminters, if Nana Addo is really committed to peace, he wouldn't have descended on the president on such a forum. Behind the news, we are moving on. With so much talk about politics and elections on the horizon, other important issues sometimes seem to be lost. One of them is the campaign against HIV. Every year, the world marks the 1st of December as AIDS Day to draw attention to efforts in place to sensitize people about the pandemic and find solutions to the challenges in the area. For 2012, the world is marking AIDS Day under the theme Getting to Zero in an effort to stop new infections and ensure that there are no AIDS-related deaths. The day also seeks to intensify the campaign against discrimination. Ghana is working under the theme Accelerating to Zero Together. How is the country working towards her goal? Dr. Richard Amenya is the Director of Technical Services of the Ghana AIDS Commission. He's joined us on the line as we talk about this. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
We are asking that blunt question. How is Ghana working towards zero?
Yeah, we are working collectively towards zero. We have 993 days more to get to 2015, the MDGs by 2015. And our goal is to ensure that we have halted HIV and reversed the impact of HIV on people. And so clearly we have our work cut out for us. And as you rightly indicated, we are moving towards zero new infections, zero AIDS-related deaths, and then also zero discrimination. And I think this is what we are, as a country, accelerating towards these zeros, and we want to get there together. It takes the collective effort of everybody to get there. So we are putting in place all the HIV related services. We are empowering civil society to play their part. We are committing persons living with HIV to also put a human face to the disease, and that is why you see the heart-to-heart ambassadors also going around the country putting a human face to the disease. So I think that when we have people on treatment and we have people being more knowledgeable about the disease and to dispel a lot of misconceptions around the disease, we will definitely get to zero.
Where are we if we want to get to zero?
Yes, as I speak now, Ghana has reduced AIDS-related deaths by about 30%. And then we have reduced new infections by 66% between 2001 and 2011. So if you ask where we are currently, we are moving towards zero, and as I indicated, we have significantly reduced HIV new infections in Ghana by 66%. And indeed, this is the highest reduction in West and Central Africa. You know, and this report just came about a week ago on the global AIDS epidemic report by the UNAIDS. And I think this shows that Ghana is doing something right, and we need to make sure that we do more in order to achieve value-added results. We are working gradually towards the elimination of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. We have a lot of work to do over there, and we think that we need all hands on deck, get all pregnant women to have HIV tests, and those who test positive going for antiretroviral drugs so that they can have HIV-free babies.
Yeah. Well, on another forum, we'll get to speak to mother-to-child issues. But for now, we want to thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Dr. Richard Amenya is Director of Technical Services at the Ghana AIDS Commission. Let's pick a quick one from Dr. Ni Akwe-Addo, the Program Manager of the National AIDS and STI Control Program. Dr. Akwe-Addo, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Looking at it from the NACP perspective, would you say the inroads have been according to plan, or we are lagging behind?
I think we are on track. We are making progress, and personally, I think we would be able to hit our targets, especially for elimination of mother-to-child transmission, and also for providing treatment and support for people living with HIV. We are right on track.
Yeah, but certainly we can talk about a few challenges. Not long ago, we heard some complaining about the fact that they don't have the antiretrovirals. Are there other major challenges that seem to impede the country from getting to the zero faster?
Well, I think the issue about the antiretrovirals, yes, was real. Unfortunately, at the time that the media picked it, we had received medicine. It happened from middle of the year towards around the middle of the year. That's when we had some challenges with availability. But as we speak now, we have availability in the country to take us through to mid next year. Let me also say that if we do not mobilize enough resources to replenish stock for 2013-2014, we may get back into that same situation. We are doing everything possible with our partners, the Global Fund, other donor partners, and of course the government of Ghana to provide funding to assure availability of medicine in the country.
Yeah. You've mentioned one big issue, funding. And certainly, as World AIDS Day is the 1st of December, but we are still raising concerns. We'll come back to the issue. We want to thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Ni Akwe-Addo is the program manager of the National AIDS and STI Control Program. Behind the news, this is where we wrap it all up. And let me thank so much Nina Isua, who was our sound controller, and the production team of Edmond Sete, Bright Agama, Christopher Siedu, and Agatha Samwa. Barbara Yakubu was our summarizer. My name is Kingsley Obinchere.